Praise the Lord. Anybody cold? I shut the heat down. If anybody's cold, we'll turn it back on. Want everybody to be comfortable. There's lots of seats on up here. We don't have to save them for other people. So if you want to move up front, come on up. It's warmer up here, I'll tell you. Okay. So, anybody want the heat back on?
Nah.
No? Okay. Okay. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 5. Just a couple verses that we're going to start with. Mark chapter 5, and we're going to be in verse 25. And would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Father, we thank you for your word, Lord God. God, as we look into your word today, Father, open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for each one of us, Lord God. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would just move mightily in this service today. Father, that you would confirm your word, Father, with signs, wonders, miracles, Father, in Jesus' name. We'll give you all the glory and the praise. Amen. You may be seated. So we see this woman had this issue of blood for 12 years. And it was like life was slowly seeping out of her. Little by little, she was dying. Now, when it first started, she probably didn't think a whole lot about it. And as a little bit of time went on, she probably thought, well, this is going to stop. It's just whatever, and it'll stop. But as time went on, and she saw that it wasn't going to stop, she went to the doctors, and they couldn't help her. Praise God for doctors, but they just couldn't help her, and she spent all her money, and she just got worse. And she heard about Jesus. Now, if we look at this, you know, all of us, in one way or another, has had what seems like life slipping out of us. Now, the Bible says that we are the bride of Christ. You know, women can understand this. Men might not understand it, but we as believers are the body of Christ. And so, you know, life can slip out of us just slowly and gradually just leave. And sometimes we try this and we try that and we try something else and it just don't seem to work. You know, and we can look at this as literal or we can look at it as figuratively. You know, how many have saw physical health maybe sloping off? How about hopes, dreams, plans, ambitions? Maybe marriage, not like it was families, not like they were relationships, maybe just seeping away. Or it may be your spiritual life or your ministry. At one time, you was just on fire for God, and slow it can seep away. And, you know, just even things that God spoke to you about what you're going to do, and when you had the word, it was fresh, and you knew it was from God, and it didn't happen, and it seems to drift away. Well, the title of today's message is Faith Now. And if you will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the same things will take place in this service today as when Jesus walked on earth as a man doing miracles. Because Jesus is the same today as he was back then. Jesus is alive and well. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you can set your watches. I'm going to preach for not over a half an hour. That's it. Wherever I'm at, I'm going to shut it off and just your faith by that time should be high enough to receive what you need from God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is now, right? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Amplified says, now faith is the assurance or the title deed, the confirmation of things hoped for or divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, you know, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. That's faith. Faith sees it done. In the book of Habakkuk, whichever you, however you pronounce it, in 2:4, but the just, now the just are those in right standing with God, now the just shall live by
faith.
In Hebrews it says the just shall live by faith. In the book of Habakkuk it says the just shall live by his faith. Not someone else's faith, but your faith. What can you believe God for? See, I can't go on your faith. And you can't go on my faith. It's what can you believe God for? Matthew 9:29. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith. Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. That's where we have to have our faith. In God. We can put our faith in a lot of other things. You know, we turn a light switch on and we have faith the lights are going to come on, right? And that's good. But we have to put our faith in God. When we do our part, you know, we have a part in this program too. A lot of times we pray and we ask God to do things, and if it don't happen, we blame God. If it does happen, well, that's good. But a lot of times when it don't happen is we didn't do our part. You know, we can go and eat junk food and everything else, you know, and our health goes. And we pray to God, God, heal me, heal me, heal me. And sometimes he'll heal me, you know. But other times, it's like, well, what are you doing? You know, you got to take care of your body too. You have a responsibility in this. So glory to God. Matthew 8:16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. So here's Jesus. And he's casting out devils. He's healing the sick, confirming what the prophet Isaiah had prophesied hundreds of years before. So what's infirmities? Well, here's some of the things that infirmities... We know what sickness is, right? So what's infirmities? Well, here's some of the definitions of infirmities. Imperfection or weakness of body. Moral or spiritual weakness and defects. It may be either moral or physical. In Luke 13:11, the woman's physical infirmity is ascribed to the influence of an evil spirit. So sometimes when Jesus was ministering, he would address the issue of evil spirits operating in people's lives. Sometimes he released healing, and sometimes both. And you might say, well, how do spirits work in your life? Well, there's a lot of ways they can work. They can hinder your relationship with God. They can hinder your relationship with other people. They can cause sickness. They can cause anxiety, frustration, anger. A lot of ways that they can be operating and we don't recognize them. But Jesus would recognize these things and he would deal with them and take care of the problem. And sometimes we have to do the same thing. Glory to God. So there's about three areas that I looked at. This is just the way I put them down in areas. And the first thing talking about faith is no faith. Matthew 17:20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. They had no faith. They didn't believe. Matthew 17:15. This man came to Jesus and he said, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, this spirit that was causing him to want to jump in the fire or pushing him in the fire or whatever. He rebuked the devil and it departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Now, another translation of verse 17 is this. Jesus said, you people are too stubborn to have any faith. You're just too stubborn. Now, stubbornness is in the pride family. Stubbornness and pride will steal your faith. You might think, well, I don't need it. I'm okay. And there goes your faith. No faith. Mark 4:40. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Why don't you have any faith? Fear will kill your faith. You may fear what will happen, or maybe what won't happen. How many remember FDR? Anybody? Yeah, what is that? Franklin?
Delano Roosevelt.
Absolutely. He was president. 1933, right? The Depression was at its deepest depth. Hope was going fast. Hope had seeped out of the United States. And FDR, his goal in the inaugural address was to lift people's hope up, encourage them. And he said, one thing we have, only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Here's some of the highlights of his speech. You can pull this up on the internet and look at it. Pretty neat, all the things he said. He said, taxes have risen. Our ability to pay has fallen. The savings of many years in thousands of families are gone. The money changers have fled from their high seats in the temple of our civilization. We may now restore that temple to the ancient truth. Happiness lies not in the mere possession of money. It lies in the joy of achievement, in the thrill of creative effort. The joy and moral stimulation of work no longer must be forgotten in the mad chase of the evanescent profits. In this dedication of a nation, here's the way he ended. He said, in this dedication of a nation, we humbly ask the blessings of God. May he protect each and every one of us. May he guide me in the days to come. 1933. Boy, sounds familiar, don't it? Yeah. You know, many people are living in fear, and that's made worse by constant consumption of news media. If you want to get fearful, listen to the news. They'll just fill you full of fear. Doom and gloom. Or commercials. Commercials brainwash people into believing that their product is the only thing that can help them struggle through life. Right? Isn't that what they're pushing? You have to have our product. This is it. What they don't tell you is that a lot of these products, the negative side effects may be worse than the problem. Well, I want you to know, faith in God has no negative side effects. Hallelujah. God's always positive. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Hallelujah. You know, when you see what God says that he's given us, the enemy will always try to steal it. Because he's a thief, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And so he wants to take that away. Before you can experience it, before you can realize that it's truth, before you can realize that it's for you today. And so the devil will come, and right off the bat, God has not given you the spirit of fear. So if you have a spirit of fear, it's not from God. It's from the enemy. Fear will keep you from asking anything from God. Because you're afraid he won't hear you. Or if he hears you, maybe you're not worthy. Maybe fear will tell you, well, you're not worthy to pray even. Or if you pray, why should you expect God to give you this? That's the way fear operates. You really think you deserve that? See, fear, when fear gets in there and gets circling around in your mind, it brings all kinds of stuff. Fear will keep you from sharing the good news with others, the gospel message with others. Oh, what would they think? They're not going to listen to me. They knew me when I was heathen. Right? Why would... I'm not going there. What if they bring up my past? Hallelujah. My past is past. It's under the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we're not to fear the face of men. But fear will keep you from sharing with what people need. Now, if you saw somebody drowning and you had a rope or you had some kind of a float device, would you throw it to them?
Yes.
Well, you have something even greater than that. You have the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to throw it to them. Hallelujah. Give it to people. There are people dying and going to hell every day. Hallelujah. And we need to be out there just encouraging people, just demonstrating the love of Jesus to people. And, you know, well, they don't want to hear it anyways. Well, I want you to know, people are hungry for God. They might not know it. You know, looking for love in all the wrong places, but what they really need is the love of God, just to draw them in. You know, a lot of times people have never known love, so they don't understand what it is to be loved, and they don't understand that God loves them no matter what they've done or where they've been or whatever. God still loves. Nothing will keep people from the love of God. He loves us so much that He sent His Son to take our place on that cross to die. Now that's a lot of love. Hallelujah. And fear is all against love. Fear don't want you to experience love. Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock, for it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. There again. Fear not, little flock. What's the little flock? Body of believers. The church. Hallelujah. You know, the only thing the Bible says that we're to fear God, but that's a different kind of fear. That's a reverential awe of God. When you have experienced God, when God has touched you in a special way, you just stand in awe of God. You just stand in awe. God, you're so good. You're so awesome, Lord God. Hallelujah. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Fear has torment. Now I know there are some things we're to fear. Old school says, well, that's just common sense. Like, you don't run out in traffic. You don't do foolish things. You know, you need to have some fear. Otherwise, you'd be foolish, right? Hallelujah. So glory to God. So no fear. Next one, or no faith. Next one is little faith. Matthew 6:30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? You know, when God speaks about little faith, I don't see that as condemnation. Because there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But I see it more of an encouragement to grow their faith, to raise up in faith. And faith comes only one way, and that's a relationship with Christ. You want to have faith? You get that relationship with Jesus Christ and you'll have faith. You'll believe Him for everything that He said. You'll believe all the promises are for you and me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're to grow. We're not to stay babes in Christ. You know, just drinking a bottle. But God wants us to mature, to grow up in faith. Hallelujah. In Luke 17:5, the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And so, a few verses on down, guess what comes down the road? Here comes 10 lepers. Now, lepers, they was dead. They was walking dead. There was no hope for them. In the natural, they was dying. Just like the woman with the issue of blood. They was dying, little by little. They were dying. And so, we see there was 10 of them. Interesting. Now, 10 is the number of perfection or completion of God's divine order. And so here comes 10, and they asked to be healed. And Jesus said, well, go. Hello, I'm here to be healed, and you say go. Go show yourself to the priest. But it didn't look like anything happened. Why should we show ourselves to the priest? But no, Jesus said, just do it. And all 10 went to show themselves to the priest. Now, they would show themselves to the priest after they was healed, right? He would confirm that they had been healed. And so Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priest. It didn't look like anything happened. But obediently, they went. Now, when they went, that's faith in action. That's expectation. As they went, or by faith they went. One came back to testify. And he testified that they were all healed. Right? Jesus said, didn't they all get healed? He said, yeah. Well, where's the other 9? Well, 90%, I think this is a pretty good example, 90% didn't come back. I think 90% of the people that receive miracles never share a testimony. What we hear is just a little bit of all the miracles, of all the healings, maybe 10%. Hallelujah. Testimonies increase our faith. They build our faith to expect. Your testimony to your answer from God may be just what it takes for somebody else to have faith to receive from Jesus. One was no faith. 2 was little faith. 3 is great faith. How many want great faith? Glory to God. Hallelujah. 8:5, when Jesus came into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Thank you, Lord. But that's not what the centurion said. Centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And here's what, and it's like he said, here's why I believe it. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Great faith. So here's the centurion, and he's saying, here's the way it works in the natural. I'm a man in authority, and anything under me obeys me, responds to me. And he recognizes, Jesus, you're an authority in the spirit realm. And whatever you say is going to happen. Glory to God. Centurion might have said, I understand your authority in the unseen spirit realm because of my understanding of the physical world. Or my authority is limited, but yours isn't. Glory to God. So, the first thing, the centurion humbled himself. You want to have great faith? He humbled himself. Second thing, his life was in order. He said, here's the way it is. I do this. I say this. It's in order. He had great faith, but just like the others, he needed someone to connect him to the power. It's just like, here's an electrical outlet, and we can plug, say, a light bulb or whatever into it. or we could have a light over here. We can have any electrical appliance or instrument or whatever, and don't do you any good unless you have a connection. And so when the people would come to Jesus, Jesus said, well, we'll just make the connection from the power to you. Hallelujah. When we pray for people, that's what we do. We just say, okay, God, you're my source, you're my power. And Jesus said, after all, the kingdom of heaven is within us. The power is within us. And so when we pray for people, we just release that power. Glory to God. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. So, I got 7 things, and I'm going to be on time. I'm hurrying, but I'm going to be on time. 7 things. You want to have great faith? You want to see God move in your life? You want your miracle today? Here's 7 things. Number 1, get a picture in your mind of something in your life that you want to see improvement in. Now, faith is a substance. Okay, that's the picture. Picture in your mind what you want from God. That's number 1. 2, just trusting God with no preconceived ideas. Not like, well, if he lays his hand on me, well, if he speaks, well, if this. No preconceived ideas. Just come trusting God. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Number 3, come humbly, just as you are. Just come. Number 4, when we pray, believe you receive what you ask for. Right then. Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Tell you a little story. One time, years ago, I was a baby Christian, and I had milking cows and stuff. He was always bending over and getting back up, and bending over and getting back up, you know. And so I had this heartburn and all this other stuff, and so I went to the doctor. I was like the woman with the issue of blood. I went to the doctor. And the doctor says, well, this is just the way it is. This is what you have, and that's that. We'll just give you a prescription, and you can take these pills every day, and that's it. And I was a baby Christian, but I also understand that God heals. Glory to God. And so I was just trusting God to be healed. And I heard about, I saw a poster or whatever, about a tent meeting up in Evansburg. And their ministry was healing. And I said, I'm going there. And so went up to this tent meeting up in Evansburg, and they was praying for people, and I got prayed for. And went home, and Louise says to me, she says, how do you feel? And I says, I don't feel any different, but I'm healed. Next day, how do you feel? I'm healed. Don't feel any different, I'm healed. That went on for maybe 2 or 3 days, and my healing was there. Because I confessed that I was healed. No matter what it looked like, no matter how it felt, I believed, I received when we prayed. Glory to God. And the healing was there. Hallelujah. Number 5, thank Jesus for it. When you're praying for it, thank him. Give him the glory. Number 6, Continue to confess what you, that you receive what you ask for. Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Another word for salvation is wholeness. Number 7. Tell others what you received so that God gets the glory and their faith is encouraged to believe for their miracle. Hallelujah. So if you have faith, if you have a picture of what you want God to do, and your faith is increased, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How many believe you heard the Word of God? Hallelujah. Then your faith is increased, and you're ready for your miracle. Hallelujah. So, if you're ready for your miracle, I invite you to come. I'm going to pray. I'm going to believe God that today is your day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Glory to God. So come. Father, I thank you for your word, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for the faith in this place, Lord God. God, to receive whatever the need is, Father. And God, you said to come in faith believing, Father. And so, God, thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here, Lord God, to watch over your word, to perform your word, Lord God. And I give you all the glory and all the praise, Father. You are so worthy and so righteous and so holy, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for power and authority, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you for your anointing here today, Lord God. God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Confirm your word, Father. Hallelujah, Lord God. If you want prayer, if you need prayer, if you don't know Jesus, I invite you to come. Today's your day. Don't leave here without Jesus. If you need prayer for anything, if you have pain in your body, if you're sick in your body, if you've been praying for something, I invite you to come. Hallelujah.